how you got through it. It was the Lord. Amen. Amen. I can see the Lord working in my life before I even knew Him. Amen. Amen. Somebody said God only blesses Christians. No, that's a lie. That's a straight up lie. This man sitting on the front row right here will tell you there's been night after night we should have died. Amen. I mean, we should have never made it home. We should have never saw the light of day. Something got us through that. Amen. It wasn't luck. It wasn't chance. It wasn't fate. It was the Lord. See, He knew He had a plan. You can go ahead and turn to John chapter number 6. If I preach, that's where I'm going. I'm full this morning. I told Brother Freddie and I told Brother William, I told the choir, I said, y'all pray. I'm fighting hell by the half acre this morning. It seemed like I walked in the church house and I just met every demonic spirit that there is in this place. You'd have to be a preacher to understand that. Sometimes in church there's things going on that you can't see. And I can't exactly see, but I sure can feel them fiery darts of the devil coming my way. Amen. But God is so faithful. Just show up and bless. Amen. John chapter number 6. We're going to look at a familiar story this morning. And I told Brother Freddie a while ago, I said, I told the Lord, this is what I'm going to preach. Can I get a witness? In other words, it's one of them days when I ain't got a clue what exactly I'm supposed to do. And I felt the Lord maybe nudging me a little bit this way. And I began to pray and said, God, oh, if this be your will, this is what I'd preach. Then I got down to the point where I said, God, this is what I'm preaching, whether it's your will or not. Because I ain't got nothing else. But I believe the Lord will bless it. Amen. I really do. I'm just teasing. I believe this is what God would have us do this morning. Everybody knows the story of the feeding of the 5,000. You familiar with that? Raise your hand. Preached from it so many times, I don't know. It's one of my favorite in the Bible. I preached a series from here some time back called Lord, Here's My Basket. Lord, Here's My Basket. And we're going to look at this little portion this morning and see if we can get something that'll help somebody. The Bible said in John chapter number 6, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. The Bible said a great multitude followed Him, because they saw His miracles which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove him, for He Himself knew what He would do. He always does, by the way. And Philip answered Him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Have you ever wondered why the lad's name is never mentioned? Nobody knows where he came from. Nobody knows who his parents are. Oftentimes in the Bible, when a name is given, we get a lineage or a genealogy. We find out who the parents were and who begat who and who begat. But this lad's name is never mentioned. I'm afraid if the lad's name had been inserted there, the lad might have got more of attention than what he ought to. Sometimes I'm afraid we seek more attention for ourselves than what ought to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So there's a lad here, just an insignificant little boy. He's so insignificant that 2,500 years later, I'm preaching about him this morning. Jesus said in verse number 10, make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves when He had given thanks. He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. The Bible said when they were filled, remember Andrew said, Philip said, there's not enough here that everybody would even get a little, but now we see they're full. The Bible said, and after they were filled, He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I'm going to stop reading right there. There's an old song that says little is much when God is in it. We are trained to look at what we have, and then we're also trained to look at what everybody else has got. And then oftentimes we judge what we've got by what our neighbors down the street have. We look at our miserable little old automobile that's running on 2 cylinders and got a quart of oil running through it every day and a big greasy spot in the parking lot, and we see the neighbor come by in the new Lincoln, and we feel sorry for ourselves because we don't have something as good as somebody else has. Can I get a witness right there? We judge what we have by what society says. Society says you got to live in the golf course subdivision to be somebody. Society says you got to belong to a certain group or you got to belong to a certain race. Nod your little pointed head. It'll be all right. You got to belong to a certain crowd to really achieve anything in this life. That's what society says. The Bible teaches something totally different. I believe the Bible teaches something about humility and smallness. Remember, there was an offering being taken one day, and these big shots was, you know, they was kind of showy about their giving. They didn't fold their check in half, in other words. They wanted it open where everybody could see how much money they putting in the plate. We got some of them around here from time to time. They is big shot givers. In other words, this church couldn't operate without me. That's their attitude. And the Lord didn't brag on none of their offerings. But there was a lady. There was a little lady there who gave just a little bit. But she gave all she had. And Jesus made a big deal over her little offering. And he didn't brag on that big offering. What I'm trying to tell you this morning is though we may be little, though we may be small, though we may not have much, little is much if God is in it. Amen. What you're looking at this morning is not much. I did not graduate from some great Bible school somewhere. I do not have a piece of paper hanging on my wall that declares that I'm smart. I'm just a corn-fed country preacher with a call and the touch of God on my life. Amen. And I believe God. Hey, he said, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. I said, good God Almighty, I believe that's flesh right there. Lord, let me have the Holy Ghost. And God, hey, if you can use little old me, help yourself. Some of y'all come in with your head down and your lip dragging the ground because of what you ain't got. Bible said in Revelation, strengthen those things which remain. Let me ask you this morning, what do you got? Oh, I can stand here a million years and tell you what I don't have. But I can tell you in just a few minutes what I do have. Y'all okay? Quit focusing on what you don't have and what you can't fix and focus on what you do have. How many of you have the Lord? Let me know about that. Come on, talk to me a little bit. How many of you got the Lord down in your heart? I mean, you got that down in you. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but then you sit and fret and worry over what you ain't got when you already got everything you ever will need, everything you ever have needed. Amen. I'm talking about good for the past, the present, and the future. Now, what have you got this morning? We sing a song, Christ is all I need. But we sing it with lying lips. I wonder if the Lord's not sitting in heaven going, how dare you sing Christ is all I need. And when you was crying over your checkbook when you got here, and you was coveting your neighbor's house and your neighbor's car, and maybe even your neighbor's wife before you got here, and then stand up there flat-footed and sing Christ is all I need. But truth be known, Christ is all we need. This flesh will lie to you and it'll tell you different. But Christ is all I need. I want you to notice several things in this scripture this morning. And I want to start out with one that is common to us all. I want you to notice the problem. I wonder how many of you be honest this morning and say, "Preacher, I got a problem." Rest of you's lying. You know you are. You're sitting there lying. You know, "I ain't got a problem in this world." You ain't living then. Honestly, Monday at the funeral, we could stand there and look at Sister Amy and go, "She has no problem. She has no problem. She's in the presence of God. She's in a glorified body. The cancer's gone. She has not a care in this world." You know why? Because she's no longer in this world. But as long as you're in this world, baby, you got trouble. I don't care who you are. And you know what? And rich people, listen to me. And I ain't knocking rich people. I love them. Especially them that love me. Rich people, their problems is usually bigger than yours. I would rather be worried about a $200 light bill than a $7,000 a month mortgage. How about that? He said, "Oh, I wish I had money." Yeah, your trouble just increased. I don't care who you are, you got problems. I was looking on the news this week and I saw Tom Cruise going through a divorce. How many is that? Several, isn't it? Three, yeah, something like that. Three divorces. Hey, got all that Scientology mixed up doctrine in his head. The guy is a whack job from the ground up. He's jacked up from the floor up. Got more money and Carter got peeled. But just like you and just like me, Tom Cruise got problems. So you notice this morning the problem. We've all got them. Sometimes we want to feel sorry for ourselves and feel like my problem's bigger than everybody else's, but it ain't. It ain't. I take you this morning, you can lay your worries out on my desk, give me a list of everything that's wrong in your life. I could take you to 316 Peter Street in Atlanta, Georgia, show you a group of homeless men, make you feel better about your situation. I'd take you down to Scottish Rite. We'd get on that elevator and go up that burn center and go on that burn floor while them little old children are burned, their bodies are disfigured. We can go to the cancer floor where them little old baby girls, all the hairs burn off their head, their eyebrows is burnt off, they're eat up with cancer. I'm talking about little old precious children. Hey, you'll come home and thank God for what you have. Amen. We're an unthankful bunch. Maybe this morning we leave here, we could look around at what we do have. I have my wife this morning. She's backslid to the back row, but she's here. Hallelujah. She loves me and cares for me. Hallelujah. Some of you men ought to nod your head at least. You don't deserve her. She quit griping about her and thank God for her. I've got three children, and they're all here this morning. All three of my kids. Three out of three ain't bad. Amen. I talk to people all the time whose children are on drugs. Could be mine. People in this room, hearts are broken over their children this morning. God's been good to me. Y'all listening? I got three grandbabies. And they all here this morning. And they love Papa. I got a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law here this morning. And they love me. I'm telling you. Why don't we focus on what we have? Amen. Amen. All that stuff you focus on that can be bought with money can be gone tomorrow. But there's some things money can't buy. There's peace down in my heart. The Bible said that passes all understanding. Amen. I mean, there's a joy down in my soul that I can't explain to anybody. And it's because of the grace of God who saved me out of a devil's hell, washed my sins away, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Good Lord, I may run and have a cotton picking foaming at the mouth fit here in a minute. Somebody ought to put your hands together and just say, "Thank the Lord, He's been good to me." Amen. The problem, what was the problem? They had all them people and no food. Amen. Sister Stacy worries about that all the time. Worry? No, I'm talking about feeding these families. I ain't talking about you being overweight. Miss Amy's funeral was on Monday, and we were to take food to the funeral home, and Miss Stacy came to the platform and said, "Oh, Brother Eddie, you got to announce this. We got to do food, and I ain't got nobody. Ain't nobody stepped up. Ain't nobody gave me no money, blah, blah, blah." She just frantic. There was more food in that house. Me and Terry got made fun of. We didn't even realize we was doing it. There's a big pan of fried okra sitting there on the table, and we're sitting there just shooting the bull, and we both had our hands in that bowl. Somebody said, "Y'all rednecks, you think that's popcorn?" I said, "Yeah." Redneck popcorn. There was enough food to go around. Hey, there's still food left when we was done eating. We worry about what we do have instead of who we have. Amen. Don't you take your problem, hold it in this hand. And take your God and hold it in that hand. I believe I'll just go with this. Amen. The problem. Then I want you to notice the probe. The Lord said, "What are we going to do?" Imagine that. I'd have said, "You're the one walking on water. You tell me. You're the one turning water into wine. You're the one shaking things up. You tell me what we're going to do." But no, he asked his disciples. He presented them with the problem. You ever felt like the Lord presents you with a problem? And he says, "Here's the situation. I want you to scope it out and tell me what we ought to do." And Philip said, "Well, the 200 penny worth ain't enough." In other words, he took up a love offering. He goes around to the other disciples and said, "Y'all ain't going to believe this. He wants to feed this crowd. You ain't going to believe it. He wants to feed this whole crowd. I'm taking up an offering." He goes around them broke disciples. "You follow Jesus, you're probably going to be broke." I mean, they've been walking with Jesus. They ain't got no job. Amen. They just preaching the gospel. He goes around, takes up a little old offering, and he comes back and he said, "This ain't enough." That sounds like Brother Tom, don't it? Where you at, Brother Tom? The Lord said, "What you got?" And they said, "This ain't enough." In other words, the demand far outweighed the supply. Somebody look at your checkbook and say amen. You ever do that? You ever figure the bills? And then you look at what you got and they just don't match up. And no matter how hard you pull, the ends don't meet and you scratch. And I mean, it just ain't going to happen. The demand is outweighing the supply. There's more month than there is payday. In other words, the problem is bigger than what you have to treat it with. That's the situation here. We've got 5,000 besides women and children. I'm gonna be generous and say maybe 15,000 people. That's a crowd. And you're worrying about feeding the finales. Maybe 15,000 people. 10 at the least. At least 10,000 people. And here we've got 200 penny worth. I mean, just some change. A lot of times when we look at our situation, that's the way we look at it. That's exactly what we do. And it's not just the financial things, but it's the medical things. I remember Brother Tommy and I sitting and just crying together. I didn't know what to say to him. I'm his preacher. I didn't have no magic word. They told him his daughter's dying. She's got cancer from head to toe. And just take a video camera and make some good memories. And let's just get her all jacked up on morphine. Make sure she's comfortable. That was the diagnosis. We just wept together. The problem was bigger than both of us put together. But somewhere in the background, there was a God who said, "Just bring it to me." I remember walking into that living room, me and Brother Freddie and Brother Charles, Brother Warren, Brother William, Brother Tommy. We knelt around that little old girl and anointed her head with oil according to James chapter number 5, and we prayed, and I believe God recognized that. We realized it was outside of our hands. We realized, hey, we took the probe. We looked at the situation and we said, hey, God, this is too big for us. Even the medical doctors don't know what to do. They don't even know what kind of cancer it is. They don't even have a name for it. God, this is way bigger than we can handle. Here. Why can't you do that this morning? Why don't you just take your grimy hands off of it? You've made mess enough of it and just say, here. I feel guilty sometimes bringing my junk to God. But He keeps taking it. He keeps taking it. Every problem I bring, He just says, bring it on. Cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Bring it. Got more sin? Bring it on. Got more financial problem? Bring it on. Got more heartache? Bring it on. Got more sorrow? Bring it on. But here's what we want to do. We want to hold on to it. Amen. We want to wrestle with it and fight with it. The demand far outweighs the supply. Somebody said, what are we going to do about the economy? I'm going to give it to Him. We're going to give it to Him. Some of you are worried to death about to wig out. You're about to wig out, man. You're about to lose it. You're about to have a nervous breakdown. You need some kind of antidepressant pill. Y'all listening? That's about where you are. Let me tell you something. You've been in worse shape. Nine times out of ten, most people, you've been in worse shape than you are right now. You've come through worse than what you're going through now. Somebody help me. I remember standing in the driveway holding my wife as we cried together as they hauled both our vehicles out of the yard. Can I get a witness? We've been through worse. Our problem is, this is what we're looking at. We're looking at the Happy Meal. We're looking at the little loaves and the fishes. And we're saying, what are they among so many? Have you ever thought about it that way? It's so insufficient, why even try? Because our God's bigger than the supply. The problem, they got one. Matter of fact, some of you Bible scholars, would you find me a miracle that didn't start with a problem? If that's for me, I ain't here. Seriously, would you find a miracle that didn't start with a problem? Every miracle in the Bible started with a problem. Would you agree? There was a need. Every time the Lord stepped in, there was a need. I mean, you start at Matthew and you go through the rest of the book and find one time, even the Old Testament, there was a need. God parted the Red Sea. Yeah, why? Because the children of Israel were in trouble. He sent a pillar of cloud by night and a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. He sent manna down from heaven. He dropped quail on the ground. Why? Because they were hungry. Every time there was a problem, there was a need. You say, preacher, I got a problem. Then you are a candidate for a miracle this morning. I believe in miracles. I believe they happen every day. Some of them are real little and we don't even recognize them, but yet they're there. It's a miracle you're sitting here this morning. Ain't no telling how many times you came that close to death on your way to church. All it would have took was that car to swerve over that far in that other lane, hit you head on. It's a miracle. Amen. The problem, the probe, then there was the prospects. Then there was the prospects. The Lord said, go see what y'all can find. Andrew said, there's a lad here, and he's got this lunch, but what is it among so many? The prospects were slim. You know, God always starts with slim prospects. He always does. I remember growing up, I remember the good boys at church. I remember the good, I'm talking about, buddy, they were spot on. You know what everybody said? Oh, he'll preach. He'll preach one day. Oh, I just see the Lord. Oh, he's going to preach. And then they'd look at me and go, Charles Williams called me up out of the congregation, put a diaper on me and set me right there. Whoa. Yeah. Still to this day, he tells everybody I was the meanest kid in the church, and that ain't true. Keith Matthews was, and that's a fact. Seriously. Slim prospect. Slim prospect. If you'd asked me years and years ago what I'd be doing at age 47, I wouldn't have said preaching to the best people on the face of this planet. Little as much when God is in it. It's just a happy meal until it's placed in His hand. It's just a happy meal. It's just one little boy's lunch. It's all it is, all it ever will be, till it's in His hand and it becomes a banquet. Happy meal, buffet. Let's do that again. Happy meal, buffet. All you can eat. Why do we settle for this? Why do we settle for the mediocre in the happy meal when we've got a God who can turn that thing into a buffet? Y'all listening? The problem, the probe, the prospects. But then there was a proposition. Here's the proposition. I got a little ahead of myself, but it'll be all right. He said, bring it to me. Bring it to me, because while you've got it, it's a happy meal. While you got it, it's a 6-piece chicken nugget. I mean, that's about the best you've got. Bring it to me. You know what the Lord's saying, I think. You got to go to Bible school to get this. And I believe the Lord's going, watch this. You ever feel that way? I believe the Lord looked at the Father and said, watch this. This bunch hungry, think they're going to go without, watch this. If they'll just bring me that thing, watch this. But before He could bless it, somebody had to turn it loose. Somebody had to let it go. Listen to me this morning. Somebody's got to let it go this morning. You're holding on to that happy meal, going, oh God, what are we going to do? Oh God, this ain't going to cut it. We ain't going to make it. You're going to have to let it go this morning. You're going to have to bring it to Him. I don't care whether it's finance. I don't care whether it's relationship. I don't care whether it's health. I don't care whether it's spiritual battles. I don't care whether it's sin. Whatever it is, you're going to have to let Him have it. Some of you hanging on to bitterness. You ain't got no joy. You ain't got no happiness. Alcorn County, you mad at somebody else. And they're probably doing all right. Amen. Listen, there is no joy without a letting go. There's not even salvation without a letting go. Y'all okay? That's always been the prospect with Jesus. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Over and over in the Bible, they brought Him somebody that was messed up. They carried one up on the roof and let him down. They carried him up. They didn't carry him out. Amen. Let me say that again. It just felt good. They carried him up, but they didn't. He walked out. He got carried up crippled, but he walked out whole. Why? Because somebody was willing to make a little effort and bring what was messed up to the Master who can fix up whatever's messed up. Hey, why don't you bring it to God this morning and let it go? The problem, the probe, the proposition, bring it to me. Bring it to me. I want you to notice the plan. You know, God's always got a plan. God's always got a plan. Notice the story, how it worked. Jesus said, give it to me. Now watch this. This is crazy. It's not our way of thinking. This is how God does it. Always has, always will. He said, give it to me. He gave it to them. They gave it to Him. And the Bible said He blessed it. Now, buddy, it's one thing when I say the blessing, but when the Lord says the blessing. Oh, yeah. When I say the blessing and open my eyes, it's still the same plate of food I... Y'all listening? But when He says the blessing, you open your eyes and go, whoa. He said, give it to me. Now watch this. I'm going to show you how God works in case you want to know. He said, give it to me. They brought it to him. He blessed it. What did he do with it? He didn't feed the multitude. He gave it back to who gave it to him. That's how God does things. He didn't give it to the multitude. He gave it back to the ones who gave it to him. But he gave back far more than what they gave him. It's kind of like having a, what do you call them things at the CDs at the bank? Only CDs I got's in my truck. Anyway, but it's like having them CDs at the bank. You put in a little and it gains interest. And when you go back to draw it out, you know the only person that can draw it out? The one who put it in. The Bible said they gave it to him, he gave it back to them, and then they distributed it. One day about 26 years ago, 27 now, I knelt down Sister Marvine's front yard. Her husband, Brother Jay, led me to the Lord. And you know what I did? I gave him my happy meal. I gave him a messed up life. I gave him a heart full of bitterness and anger and hatred. And I said, it ain't much. But here it is. And then he started giving back to me. And I mean, it's way much more than what I gave to him. Somebody said, why are you going to? I'm distributing. I'm distributing. Somebody said, why are you going to Kentucky? There's somebody over there that needs a little help. There's a teenager over there that needs to hear the Lord loves them. There's a lost little boy over there that needs to hear he can be saved. Hey, amen. What I'm doing, I'm just giving back out what God's gave to me. And what I found out, it's a limitless supply. When I think I've given it all out, you ever feel like you just give it all you got? And then you go to give some more. Brother Jonathan tells it this way. Did he preach that message here? He preaches a message on grace. If he preaches it here, y'all tend like you ain't never heard it, okay? And he uses that scripture. It talks about more grace. He said he could never understand that until he went to get a handkerchief one day. He said every time he reached, there's more. Just when you think there ain't going to be no grace for this situation, there it is. More grace just pops up every time. Preacher, I'm worried we're doing too much. We shouldn't take on any other kind of ministry. Why not? Every time we reach in, the supply's there. No matter what we do, the supply's there. I'm going to be really embarrassed if it runs out. That's the way God works. Had the disciples did that thing the Baptist way? Had the disciples say, we got this boy here with a lunch, we need to have a deacon's meeting? Simon stood up and said, I make a move in a second. We nominate Brother John to distribute. And somebody said second to move. All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Same sign. Then Matthew stands up here. I oppose. I think Andrew ought to pass it out. He's the one found the boy. That sound familiar? I think Andrew ought to do it. Then they vote. Andrew wins the vote. Everybody that voted, who'd I say first time? Peter. Everybody that voted for Simon, they mad. Everybody voted for John, they're mad because somebody else got the job. Y'all okay? If they'd have done it our way, they wouldn't have got past the front row. They'd have been a fight. That'd be like one cat head biscuit at a Baptist homecoming. Like Uncle Versi told about that last piece of chicken, y'all remember that? Jerry Clower, I'm talking about Jerry Clower. That last piece of chicken's and all the lights went out. Said the lights come back on. Marcel had the back of his hand full of forks. He was the only one dumb enough to stick his hand. That's the way it'd been. That's how we do. We look at what we got and we give out as much as we can till we feel like they just ain't nothing left. All our energy, all our efforts, till we're just drained. I'm going to show you something. I'm going somewhere. Oh, well. I'm done. They got some of you sitting here just like that this morning. Your mindset is, I'm just give out. There's nothing left. Because you tried to distribute what you had. You missed an important step. Give it to Him first. Let Him give it back. Giving is always God's plan. I'm really fixing to shut up, I promise. This morning, in my office at home, laying on my desk is a stack of unopened bills. There's power bill. There's telephone bill. There's water bill. There's a Home Depot bill. And there's one more, and I'm trying to think what it was. Oh, Allstate insurance. They're all laying on my desk. I know about how much they are. I sat down in my office this morning, and I wrote two checks. Bottom of one set check says tithes and building fund. Bottom of the other check says missions. Y'all okay? I learned something a long time ago. It's going to be so much better if I'll just go ahead and get Him out of the way. If I'll just go ahead and give to Him first. I don't have to worry about the power bill, the water bill, the Allstate, the Home Depot. As long as I'll give it to God first. Then it's so weird. I go to y'all would be embarrassed if you know how much some of you knew how much I make. I'm serious. These preachers in this town make five times what I do. I'm not asking for a raise. Don't want one. But I go to write them bills out. Money's there. Somebody said, what are you behind on, preacher? We want to help you. I ain't behind on nothing. You know why? Because I ain't behind on Him. That's always His plan. In finances, in relationship, in physical, in spiritual, give it to Him first. Quit worrying about what Oprah says. Quit worrying about what Dr. Phil said. Why don't you get into Dr. Jesus? Amen? Why don't you bring that jacked up marriage to Dr. Jesus? Why don't you bring that messed up teenager to Dr. Jesus this morning? I mean, really give it to Him. And let it go. The problem, the probe, the prospects, the proposition, the plan. And I'm done with this. I want you to notice the proof. The proof. What is the proof? They all full. Can you imagine what that little boy told his mom when he got home? She probably whooped him for lying. Son, where'd you get all them fish? Because you ain't going to believe this. Those disciples. Now, I believe it's, we ain't got no offering plate. I believe it's just like this. I believe when they started distributing, they didn't see enough food to feed a multitude. I do not believe that they saw enough to feed the multitude. Are y'all listening to me? I believe after He blessed the food, we was joking about it a while ago, but I believe after He blessed the food, it was them same loaves and them same fishes. And He broke that stuff up and He handed it to them disciples. And probably in their hearts, this ain't going to work. They had all them men sat down. He said, just get a little now. Pretend like it's communion, just a bite. Just a little. No, it's too much. Just a, you put some of that back. You don't even need none. And as they began to pass out what they thought was insufficient, it was like that meal in that woman's barrel. I'll be dog. They got everybody fed. They thought, huh, y'all want some more? You want seconds? Y'all still hungry? And they kept on, and they kept on, and they kept on, till they said, oh, we can't stand another bite. I'm full as a tick. I need a nap. Then they gathered the fragments that remained, and they were 12 baskets full. You need some proof this morning. I know the flesh wants something it can see, touch, and feel. You want something you can see, touch, and feel? Ashley's not here this morning. I wish she was. I wish she was. Where's some of my other cancer survivors? They're around here. Miss Sonia, look at there. What a blessing. What a blessing. Listen, Rusty and Stacy, look, won't y'all stand up? Oh, yeah. Come here hating one another's guts. Serious heart attack. Just about to divorce. Thank y'all. I saw Michelle a while ago. Where are they at? Jeremy, there they are right there. They came here already separated. Not even living in the same house. Here's what Jeremy said. Let's try church. We've tried everything else. She said, where are we going to go? He said, I don't know. Let's look on the internet. And they saw the picture of Happy Valley. He said, I don't know why, but that's where we're going. Been here ever since. You want proof? You want proof? Where's Brother Warren? There he is in the balcony, wearing a tie. Used to sell drugs out of the trunk of his car. Him. I'm serious. He don't mind me telling it. Brother Jason, going to be our RU director. He's on vacation right now. Was a meth addict. Meth. You don't see many people walk off from that. You want proof? Look around you this morning. And let me tell you something. If God did it for me, He'll do it for you. Brother Freddie, y'all just, Harry sits in a three-piece suit. I mean, even wore the vest. I'm talking about sharp, man. That joker looked like Cousin It before he got saved. I'm serious. Bushy hair. Them little glasses. I'm talking about playing in a rock and roll band. Him. You want proof? And such were some of you. We've got people in this room I have visited in jail. You say, I'm going to church with convicts? Uh-huh. You sure are. And that other church you went to, they just too proud to, you know it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. You need proof? You need proof? Hey, I come to God every now and then, and I point out other people and say, God, you helped him through that. Would you help me? God, you said you're no respecter of person. You answered his prayer. Will you answer mine? How about it? You got a problem this morning? Have you got a problem? Let me ask you one more time. One more time. Happy meal or buffet? It's up to you. It's not God deciding whether or not He blesses you. He's already decided to bless you. You just ain't give Him nothing to put it in. Let's bow our heads this morning. Nobody looking around. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning say, preacher, I know my biggest problem is I don't know the Lord. I don't know if I died right now, heaven would be my home. I can't tell you for sure that if I died today, I'd be in heaven. Listen, I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I just want to pray for you. You just slip up your hand and say, preacher, pray.
that I'd get that problem taken care of. I don't want to die and go to hell. If you can really know heaven's going to be your home, I'd like to know. Just remember me when you pray. Anybody? How about this morning? Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt. If I fall over dead before this service is over, you tell my family I'm in heaven. I know I'm saved. But preacher, I'm struggling. I'm fighting some battles. I'm dealing with some problems. Come on. Hands all over this building. Thank you for being honest this morning. Now let me, before I pray, I'm going to pray for you. But before I pray, let me encourage you to bring whatever it is to Him. Whatever it is. If it's a money problem, bring it to Him. If it's a relationship, bring it to Him. If it's a loved one, bring it to Him. If it's a sickness, bring it to Him. If it's a spiritual thing, bring it to Him. There's nothing in your life He'll turn away. He'll take it. He'll take it. He'll help you with it if you'll allow Him to this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning in Jesus' name, God, you know exactly what needs to be done in this service this morning. Lord, and I just pray you'd have your way. Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. Now, God, as we give it to you, do what you do best. Bless it and return it, God. Lord, help them to walk out of this building with some victory this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. While they sing, God, dealing with your heart, why don't you come? Why don't you come? You raised your hand, so preacher, I've got a problem. Something I'm battling, something I'm dealing with. Bring it to Him this morning. Come on.